Be fine. I just wanted to read a few verses before I start today, and I'm so thankful for the Lord and for the fact that Jesus intercedes for us before his Father, and that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. So Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the name of this song is Before the Throne of God Above.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul
Exodus 34. Verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, that is, with Moses there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children and children unto the third and to the fourth generation. We would continue these messages that we began a few weeks ago on proclaiming the name of the Lord. And as we see here that the Lord came down, this is actually in the mount by this time. And so we read that the Lord descended in verse 5 and proclaimed the name of the Lord. I want to notice that there are 9 points associated with that proclamation as we begin here in verse 6. Number 1, the Lord God is merciful. Number 2, he's gracious. Number 3, long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness. Number 5, he's abundant in truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, number 6. Number 7, forgiving iniquity. Number 8, forgiving transgression. Number 9, forgiving sin. All of these are associated with proclaiming the name of the Lord. It is all in the name of the Lord. Then, of course, Moses goes on to say, or God goes on to say here, that will by no means clear the guilty. And we find that to be true, that even though there is forgiveness for us, there was forgiveness for Israel at that time that they did experience, yet we find sin has been passed down from generation to generation, and that continues, of course, down to our day. I want to see today the wonder of the name of the Lord, because all of these things are possible only in the name of the Lord. There is a wonderful truth that is brought out here, and that is the honor of the Lord. In other words, he is going to honor his name. Moses understood that, and you, if you read the 32nd chapter of this same book, Moses actually appealed to the honor of God when he was interceding for Israel. That is, that God would defend his good name. And he said, Lord, what will the Egyptians say if you bring these people out of Egypt to consume them from the face of the earth? That would be a blight on your honor. And of course, God did answer him, and God did respond to him and gave him this wonderful promise that Israel would yet get to the land of promise. We see again 9 wonderful demonstrations of the power and the wonderful things associated with claiming the name of the Lord. I want to enlarge today on this one here in verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands. And the title of our message today is Safety. There is safety in the name of the Lord. This word keep means to guard or to protect. It means a watcher. And that is exactly what God is doing in our lives even today. He is a watcher. He is keeping. And I want to notice what he is keeping here. In the name of the Lord, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands. It means that God is guarding, or he is protecting, or he is watching his mercy, because that is in our behalf. God is defending his very attitude, his very nature, his very name of divine grace. And God indeed has done that for us. It is expressed here in these next few, specifically in these next few things. Notice, he keeps mercy for thousands. He forgives iniquity, forgives transgression, he forgives sin. All of that is a part of the grace of God, and it is all in the name of the Lord. And it is so important that we understand the power and the glory of that glorious name. I love the way that Paul expresses these same truths in Ephesians 2:7, when he said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is one of the meanings of the word mercy. It means kindness. It means to stoop down. And that's exactly what he did in redemption. He stooped down for us according to his matchless and glorious grace, stooping down in order to meet our need. And he has done just exactly that. He is keeping mercy for thousands. He is guarding. He is protecting. We'll not turn to these, but you might want to make a note of them. They're very familiar verses insofar as the keeping power of God, the protecting of God. Deuteronomy 32:10 says it this way. He found him, that is, he found Jacob or Israel in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Again, Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. All of these tell us of being kept in the name of the Lord. We are guarded, protected, shielded. And that protection is so very important in our day. We are living in such a day of chaos. It is such a dangerous day. It is perilous times, the scripture said. Let us, as we'll find here in just a moment, let us flee to the name of Jesus. Claim that name in order to gain our protection today. I want to turn to the 18th chapter of Proverbs. This again is a very familiar portion. Just one little verse I want to read here. Proverbs 18. And we find this is so important for our lives today, so important that we claim in our own experience. Notice in verse 10, the name of the Lord. And this is exactly what God was proclaiming back in Exodus 34, proclaiming that name which is so beneficial unto us. And so we read here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And this is what we're looking for in our lives, this time of safety and protection. There are so many verses in the scripture that are indeed qualified, and this is one of them. It means you have to claim it. It means you have to be in a certain position and condition in order to lay hold of it. And so we find here the name of the Lord is a strong tower, period. That's just the name of the Lord. It's the name of the Lord itself that offers such a tower unto us. But notice what we have to do to claim it. First, the righteous. There is only one way to obtain righteousness, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That again in his name, as we find in other places. But the righteous we're talking about is not our own righteousness. It's not all of our wonderful efforts. It's not all of these wonderful works that men might do in order to claim attention and to gain some advantage for themselves. The righteousness that we're talking about here is the righteousness we get by faith, just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen it again and again. There is only one righteousness that God ever recognized are accepted, and that is the righteousness of Christ. It is freely given to us just because we believe on him. So the righteous, we claim that place, we lay hold of that place. The righteous runneth into it, runneth into this tower, runneth to the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord. I want to notice it is a matter of putting some energy and some effort into it. Men cannot be passive when it comes to claiming that name or reaping the benefit of it. He must put some energy into it. He runs into it. He is anticipating. He is longing for this time of running to the Lord. And notice, as we find here, he runs into this name or this tower, and he is safe. And what a wonderful time that is for us to discover. The word safe means lofty. It means inaccessible. That is exactly what we have in the name of the Lord. It is a lofty place. It is inaccessible. We cannot be touched in that name. I think again of Colossians 3:3. Paul says, "You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." It means it's inaccessible. The enemy or anyone else cannot get to us. This is safety in the truest sense of the word, and indeed we have it in the name of the Lord. Let us go now to the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. This is that great intercessory chapter. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that he prayed the night he was arrested, before he was crucified on the next day. And it is again a prayer of intercession. And I want to notice how that Jesus invoked the name of the Lord. The safety that we have is in the name of the Lord. This is what we must claim in our own experience. And so in John 17, let us go down to verse 5. Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." We have pointed out at various times how that when Jesus came into this world, he gave up all of that glory. He had the fullness of glory and majesty and greatness with his Father. But when he became a man, he gave that up. And now he must pray in order to get it back, in order for God to grant him that same glory once again. And of course, he certainly will. But verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." I have manifested thy name. Again, Jesus is invoking the name of the Lord in this final petition, in this intercessory prayer for us. Skip down to verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." You and I both know that Jesus was interested in the world. He died for us while we were yet sinners. But in this intercessory prayer, you will notice that Jesus says, "I pray not for the world." He put the priority where it belongs. Today, it seems to me that there are many times that people put more of a priority on the sinner than they do on the saint, and that is not the scriptural order. And so Jesus says, "I'm not praying for the world." He was interested in them, yes, but "I pray not for the world, but I'm praying for those that you have given me. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father." Notice, "keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." Again, the keeping is in the name of the Lord. "Keep through thine own name." This word "keep" is very much akin to the one that we read in the Old Testament. The word "keep" here means to watch. It means to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon. We are again reminded of the psalmist, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." Keep me. Jesus says here that he kept them. He is praying that God will keep them. But notice verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them." How? "In thy name." Once again, it is the name of the Lord that provides this safety and this protection and this security that we are looking for in our own lives. Jesus is praying unto his Father that he would keep them in your name, according to your name. And then he tells us that he had already set the example. He had already shown what this means. And we could go through many, many examples of this very thing. I want to mention a few, because Jesus said that while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Again, I want to notice that Jesus is emphasizing the name of the Lord. Because he says, without him, I can do nothing of myself. Jesus did not do these things. He did not perform all these miracles as God. He performed them as a man with faith in God. He demonstrates this faith in the name of the Lord in behalf of these disciples. And we can cite a few examples where we see the protection of the Lord upon them. For example, we read of two different times that there was a tempest at sea. There was one time when Jesus was with his disciples in the boat, in the ship, and he was asleep, and a storm rose, and the disciples were just terrified because the waves were swamping that boat, and they woke him up and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" And you remember that Jesus arose, and he rebuked the winds, and there was a calm, safety, security in the name of the Lord. Jesus called on God in order to do that. Then we remember the other one when the disciples were in the midst of the storm and they see Jesus walking on the water. This is the time that Peter looked out and said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me come to you." And Jesus did that. And Peter stepped out. And we remember the story when he began to see the turbulence of the waves. Then he began to go down. But here again is Jesus grabbing him by the hand, pulling him up, stepping into the boat, and again rebuking the winds. And there was a calm. We see Jesus keeping in the feeding of the 5,000. There was another time of the 4,000. And I thought of this one, especially in the 5,000, because Jesus told them after they were all sufficed and were all full, he says, "Gather up what is left, that there be nothing lost." We've seen before that God absolutely wastes nothing. But they took up 12 baskets of the fragments of the bread and of the fishes. We have brought that out at different times as being typical of the full provision that would be available and waiting for Israel even after this church age is over. But I thought as I meditated on this, 12 baskets. Could we not say there was one basket for each disciple? Jesus taking care of them in such a very individual manner, even as he does us. He keeps us in the physical sense, giving us food and drink and raiment and all of these things. This is keeping us in the name of the Lord even today. Then we find that he kept them spiritually. Peter was facing a horrendous battle. And you remember at the Last Supper how that Jesus had already told them that they were going to forsake him. And Peter steps forward and says, "Oh no, not me." And Jesus singled him out and says, "Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." He takes care of us. Physically, he takes care of us spiritually. He takes care of us emotionally. It doesn't make any difference. We can rejoice today that God is keeping us in the name of the Lord. We have that protection round about us in order that our faith fail not, even at such desperate times as we're going through today. We find out men trying to tear down the very fabric of the gospel gospel, the fabric of faith, and yet Jesus prays for us that your faith fail not, all in the name of the Lord. It's the power of that name that will also give us victory, even as we find with Peter. His faith didn't fail. He came back to become a greater blessing than he ever was before. This is the power of God and the name of Jesus. Then we find that he is still speaking of this keeping power, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Make no mistake, the Lord knows that we are no more a part of this world today than the disciples were at that time. If you feel out of place, wonderful. If you feel in place, you got a problem. We are not of this world, and Jesus knows that. And we must get along. We must continue on in a world where we have absolutely been rejected. But take heart, because this wonderful name of the Lord is here to protect us, even as that high tower that we've already read about. We are inaccessible insofar as the enemy is concerned. And so we read, the world has hated them. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. But here's what he did pray for. I'm praying that you should keep them from the evil. Again, we are kept in the name of the Lord. When it says keeping from the evil, the better translation is keeping from the evil one. Satan is singled out here, that he is not going to be able to destroy us. Even though that Satan would sift Peter as wheat, he was not able to destroy him. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I am absolutely persuaded that Jesus has the same prayer on his lips for us today. As we were speaking of the special song today concerning the glorious throne of grace, Jesus is still there, even at this present hour, praying for those people, praying for us in the name of the Lord, that we be preserved from this wicked one. Be preserved and kept from the evil one. I have thought on that protection and that keeping power over the years. And we don't always put it in the right perspective. Job said it best when he said, thou, speaking of God, you've hedged me in. Job looked on it as a prison, that he was limited, that he was curtailed, that he was punished, so to speak, that he was confined and held in. And perhaps some of us have felt that way at times. Perhaps we have felt that we just simply could not move, that God just put us in a vice and we couldn't move. Let's consider it this way. The same hedge that held Job in held Satan out. Amen. And this is what you and I must consider with the things that we go through and the prisons or the hedges that are about us. It is protection for us. He is shielding us once again in the name of the Lord. Then if you will back up for one last point in conclusion, in the 11th verse, we find he wanted, Jesus prayed, that you would keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And notice the last phrase, that they all may be one as we are one. This is another purpose of the name of the Lord, that we should be made one. Go down to verse 20. Neither pray for I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one. It comes only in the name of the Lord. Now, our world, our religious world, is trying every way they can in order to make themselves one. A few months ago, we wrote in the Grace and Glory that there were some who were trying to reunite evangelicals with Catholicism. And in order to do that, you would have to sacrifice truth. There's only one way to be sanctified, and that is truth. You can't compromise truth and achieve unity. It doesn't happen. It won't happen. And we cannot allow such things in our own lives. We are not going to be able to join all the religious factions in this world. It is not going to happen. So the message that I'm preaching to us is for us as individuals today. And it is simply this. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This verse must be fulfilled in an individual manner in each one of our lives. That is, our oneness is with Christ and with his Father, all in the name of the Lord. He would make us one. He would keep us in the name of the Lord, that we might be one with him. God expects, and God has provided, that we should be absolutely one in Christ. One with the Father, one with his Son. No separation, absolutely inseparable, the one from the other. This is what God will do in our lives, in our own experience, when we too claim the name of the Lord, as we find here. And so that they all may be one. When people have, many individual people have, this same mindset and this same wonderful commitment, then they become one with one another and they don't have to do a thing. When we are one in truth, when we are one with Christ, when we are one in God, we are one with each other. And so this is the unity that we are searching for, but it begins with my own heart becoming one in the Lord, one through the name of the Lord. Well, that leads to verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is one in glory, and it's all in the name of the Lord. It is so important that we as an individual claim the name of the Lord if we are going to be separated, if we are going to be in that place of glory with Jesus. Notice verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. All of this happens in the name of the Lord. And I trust that you and I today claim that name for our own selves, that we might reap these glorious benefits.